在线英语听力室 teamroom.com 欢迎您。
After several acts of defiance against Constantius and the eunuchs, Gallus was summoned to the imperial court at Milan.
He was conducted to a palace in the suburbs, where the general Barbatio, with a select band of soldiers who could neither be moved by pity nor corrupted by rewards, expected the arrival of his illustrious victim.In the close of the evening, he was arrested, ignominiously stripped of the ensigns of Caesar, and hurried away to Pola in Istria, a sequestered prison which had been so recently polluted with royal blood. The horror which he felt was soon increased by the appearance of his implacable enemy, the eunuch Eusebius, who, with the assistance of a notary and a tribune, proceeded to interrogate him concerning the administration of the East. The Caesar sunk under the weight of shame and guilt.Confessed all the criminal actions and all the treasonable designs with which he was charged, and by imputing them to the advice of his wife, exasperated the indignation of Constantius, who reviewed with partial prejudice the minutes of the examination. The emperor was easily convinced that his own safety was incompatible with the life of his cousin. The sentence of death was signed, dispatched, and executed. And the nephew of Constantine, with his hands tied behind his back,was beheaded in prison like the vilest malefactor. Those who are inclined to palliate the cruelties of Constantius assert that he soon relented and endeavoured to recall the bloody mandate, but that the second messenger, entrusted with a reprieve, was detained by the eunuchs, who dreaded the unforgiving temper of Gallus and were desirous of reuniting to their empire the wealthy provinces of the East.
Constantius decided to spare the life of Julian, brother to Gallus. Indeed, such were the civil discords in the empire, with a barbarian invasion of Gaul threatening the west, and to the east a likely attack from Persia, that Constantius elevated Julian to be Caesar for the west. But Constantius did not trust this new emperor.
The 24 days which the Caesar spent at Milan after his investiture, and the first months of his Gallic reign,were devoted to a splendid but severe captivity. Nor could the acquisition of honour compensate for the loss of freedom. His steps were watched, his correspondence was intercepted, and he was obliged by prudence to decline the visits of his most intimate friends. Of his former domestics, four only were permitted to attend him, two pages, his physician, and his librarian, the last of whom was employed in the care of a valuable collection of books, the gift of the Empress,who studied the inclinations as well as the interest of her friend. In the room of these faithful servants, an household was formed, such indeed as became the dignity of a Caesar. But it was filled with a crowd of slaves, destitute, and perhaps incapable of any attachment for their new master, to whom, for the most part, they were either unknown or suspected. His want of experience might require the assistance of a wise counsel,But the minute instructions which regulated the service of his table and the distribution of his hours were adapted to a youth still under the discipline of his preceptors, rather than to the situation of a prince entrusted with the conduct of an important war. Under these melancholy circumstances, an inexperienced youth was appointed to save and to govern the provinces of Gaul, or rather, as he expresses it himself, to exhibit the vain image of imperial greatness.The retired scholastic education of Julian, in which he had been more conversant with books than with arms, with the dead than with the living, left him in profound ignorance of the practical arts of war and government. And when he awkwardly repeated some military exercise which it was necessary for him to learn, he exclaimed with a sigh, "O Plato, Plato, what a task for a philosopher!" Yet even this speculative philosophy, which men of business are too apt to despise,had filled the mind of Julian with the noblest precepts and the most shining examples, had animated him with a love of virtue, the desire of fame, and the contempt of death. The habits of temperance recommended in the schools are still more essential in the severe discipline of a camp. The simple wants of nature regulated the measure of his food and sleep. Rejecting with disdain the delicacies provided for his table,He satisfied his appetite with a coarse and common fare which was allotted to the meanest soldiers. During the rigour of a Gallic winter, he never suffered a fire in his bedchamber, and after a short and interrupted slumber, he frequently rose in the middle of the night from a carpet spread on the floor to dispatch any urgent business, to visit his rounds, or to steal a few moments for the prosecution of his favorite studies.